Let's do this. Yes. So I only have a few minutes to speak with you, and I just wanted to take a moment. When I was getting ready for today, God put a word in my heart to share with you from the book of 2 Kings 7. So maybe you can go there with your Bible, your app, whatever you use, 2 Kings 7. And before we open up God's word, I just wanted to pray and ask God that he speaks to us this morning. What about that? So, but we're going to do it a little different. I'm not going to pray. You are going to pray. So you, would you take a moment and ask God, God, would you speak to me this morning? Just in an act of humility, of willingness to hear from him. Just take a moment and just with your own words, you know, 10 seconds, just from your heart. God, would you speak to me today where I am today? And now would you pray that God speaks to your heart through me? Would you pray that he uses me to speak to your heart this morning and to this congregation? Thank you, Father. You're here. I bless you, God. In Jesus' name, thank you, God, for your word. Amen. So this is what it says. It's chapter 7, 2 Kings chapter 7. This is what it says. Elisha, he was a prophet, one of the most remarkable prophets in the Old Testament. He had a record, actually, of this guy knows what he's talking about. Things happen when he comes around. And so he replied to the king, hear what the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. About this time tomorrow, a seah of the finest flour will sell for a shekel and two seeds of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria, meaning the gate of the main town of Israel, the kingdom of the north kingdom. The officer on whose arm the king was leaning said to the man of God, look, even if the Lord should open the floodgates of the heavens, could this happen? And then Elisha replied, you will see it with your own eyes, answered Elisha. You will not eat any of it. And so this is a passage that is happening in the middle of one of the most chaotic moments in the history of Israel. The kingdom of Israel has split in two when they were one of the strongest political nations, one of the strongest nations in their area. They become weak. And one of the reasons is because they saw their relationship with God more like a kind of a friends with benefits. Let's just call it that. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you have ever been in a relationship like that, because we should never talk about that. But wouldn't it be weird to be in a relationship with someone and say, okay, so I get something from you, you get something from me, zero expectations, we can, just hang out with whoever, and we're just talking here, right? Like, it's all talk. We're just talking, but no commitments, really. And so Israel would see their relationship with God that way. They were trying to impose in God their views of the world, and they thought, oh, I have a deal with God. This is one of the, I hope I kind of offend you, but I hope I don't. One of the things that is just dumb for me to hear is, oh, it's my relationship between God and me. No. If Jesus had a relationship between his Father and himself only, what would have happened to you? If Jesus was working that way, man, you and I were doomed. Hey, it's my relationship between God and me. You know, I just keep it to myself. So he would have come to the world and just lived and died in the cross. And we would be like, why is that guy dying on the cross? Oh, it's his relationship between the Father and I and him. But he needed to let us know, right? And so they wanted to have a relationship with not only God, but other gods, who actually some people have issues with. Okay, why would people go and make wars in the Old Testament? Well, because these people, one of their cults was that you would bring your child, your firstborn, to a god called Moloch, who was a statue of bronze, and it had its arms reaching out. And you would bring your child, you would put fire under Moloch, it would begin to burn the metal until it was burning, and then you would offer a sacrifice there. Yes, your own child. Do you understand the implications? So God has told Israel, I love you with eternal love. I am for you. I am with you. And then these people say instead of that, no, we like this other God. You know, he's better. We're more into him. And so God says, I will withhold my blessing from you. This is something that Moses had warned them. When you begin to follow other gods, you're going to start falling apart. I will withhold my blessing from you. It wouldn't make much sense if I'm sending my child to college to say, and if you want to show to classes, that's up to you. I'm paying for college, but I'll be okay. You know, it's up to you. You just live your life. Would you be okay like that as a dad? Were your parents okay with that? I mean, would your parents be okay with that if it ever happened? Of course not. So why would we expect God's blessing when we're withholding from living the kind of life that he has for us? So he says, I am going to withhold my blessing. And the economy begins to just plummet. All the nation begins to have chaos, moral chaos, all kinds of chaos. Things are going really bad. And they're at the point where there is famine. There is no food. There is scarcity. People are hoping that someone will give them food. Well, it gets in such bad shape that now people are beginning to eat their children in Israel. And Israel is still not willing to say, we are so sorry, God. Instead of that, they begin to turn to other nations. It's just horrible at this point. And God is willing to say, I will give you guys a break. So he comes to Israel through the prophet Elijah, and he says, I am going to make a miracle for you. I don't enjoy punishment. God is so clear in the Bible. He does not enjoy punishment. But I am a dad, and I know that if I let my, 7-year-old to keep on beating on my 4-year-old because I don't want her to, I don't want her to know correction, that's not going to go well. So what do? I need to discipline, right? So God says, I am going to stop the disciplining right now. And I am going to make a miracle. I am going to, about to do something amazing. And he says, tomorrow, I am going to bless you in such a way that you had no idea. The economy is going to flip completely. People will have money to buy things when there was no money. There will be food in the city. So Elijah says this to the king. The king is listening to that. And an officer who had no deal in this, who is the guy that is giving advice to the king, he says out loud, well, see, if God even opened the doors of heaven, this wouldn't even be possible. Now, this guy is a cynical. He is a realist, we would call it. Where the first word that comes out of his mouth is, see, what do you see? Isn't it interesting? Look, all that I can see is that God cannot do that because what I live by is but what I seek. If you're a realist, man, let me tell you, it's good to make some decisions being a realist, but God is supernatural. And you cannot begin to meet God when you try to limit him to what you see. But God wants to meet you in what you cannot see. And that is where God meets us. And when we're ready and available, he is going to make some amazing things in your life. So what happens? Elijah tells him, you're going to see. We're going to talk about seeing. You're going to see the blessing. You're not going to enjoy it. You're all about seeing. That's what you will get. Just seeing the blessing. But the interesting part of all of this is, for me, in the very beginning of the chapter, look at the very beginning, verse number 1. It says this, hear the word of the Lord. And we just kind of jump through that and, okay, so what's the content? The content is the word of the Lord. Israel had been refusing to hear the word of the Lord. And that was exactly what had brought him to that low point. So then what happens? There are 4 lepers out of nothing. They're in the outside of the gate of Israel. They were not allowed in because they were unclean. And so what do they do? They say, okay, we can die in the city or we can go to the enemy camp and just say, hey, we surrender. Feed us. We don't want to die. We want to become like you. And I felt so pressed this morning for this service to say there is someone here in this room who is just so frustrated with life that you're willing to go into very, very dark places. That you're just so fed up of saying, I'm trusting God and he's not answering. That I'm just willing to make the most horrendous decisions just because I'm tired of this. And God has told you, I have given you victory. It's already done. You don't have to fight for victory. This is a story where they had to do nothing about that victory. And there is someone in this room that is just having a choice to this, a decision coming up soon that you can decide, are you going to walk by faith or are you going to walk away? And let me tell you, in this story, these four people go to the camp of the enemy camp. And when they walk in, they begin to walk that way and God moves in that moment. And he sends a noise that sounds like an army is going to about to attack the camp. These people flee and they leave everything behind. They leave horses. Come on, what are you doing running without horses? They leave treasures. They leave everything. The lepers don't realize what is happening. They're just hungry. They're going at it. They're eating. And then they start treasuring things, right? And then they go and hide the treasures. And there is no one around. They're like, okay, then let's go to the other tent. And they hide more treasures. And they're like, what are we doing with withholding the blessing? This is a sin. We should go and tell people. They go back to Israel, tell the people in Israel. And one of the officers says, no, this is a trick. This is a tramp. God cannot bless us like that. This is a trick. And then another officer says, we should go and send someone to figure out what's happening. Well, yes, God moved. Israel goes to the camp. They take all the spoils. And they're running and rushing back into the city. Well, the officer that was cynical about God is standing at the door because the king told him, you stand there and you watch people as they're coming in. People are so excited with the blessing that he sees them coming with the blessing and he gets trampled and dies. Now, you may say, oh, that's horrible. What a horrible story. Well, I think it's a warning. Because if we're willing to say the victory that God has given us doesn't work, we will only see other people being blessed. And everyone else is going to be blessed and you're going to be frustrated with God and you will say, yeah, how come that family is there having such a good time and having a healthy relationship? How come I don't get that? But that person was all about seeing and not about hearing. And I'm wondering if there is someone in this room that it's about time to hear. And God has put you in a place of influence, a place where you should speak life and love and encouragement. And maybe you're more like this officer that is saying, yeah, that sounds like a good idea, but God is not really that powerful. And maybe you're that spouse that, you know, someone is trying to speak something positive and you just have it's just like a piece of art, right? Like, bringing the negative, like, let's bring people back down. Like, why would they be encouraged, right? Maybe you're that person at work that has an opportunity to speak to a manager encouragement. And you're that person that is going to give that person a moment to say, God is with you. But I don't know what God is speaking to you this morning. But I never want to miss God's blessing. Never, ever, ever. One short testimony and then I'm done. So my friend Kathy, she texts me on Thursday at 8:40 and she says, hey, are you going to talk to someone who is just in a very dark place, has been pushing back against God? I was praying and God told me in prayer, because God speaks in prayer, by the way, so don't be surprised if he talks back. It's not a condition. It's God speaking. And so God told me that you're going to be talking to someone. Are you talking to someone? And I just thought, wrong text. It's not for me because I'm not talking to anyone that is struggling with their faith today. Well, 3 hours later, my mom calls me. Hey, your cousin from Mexico City, she is struggling and she went to a hospital. She's having a mental breakdown. Pray for her. You may want to talk to her. And she, just so you know, she has been refusing listening about Jesus. You know, the day goes by and I'm trying to find the moment to talk to her. And I just thought, I'm just going to text her and say, hey, just praying for you. You know, the Christian thing to do. Avoidance, you know, like I'm spiritual because I'm saying I'm praying for you. But I'm avoiding the conversation, you know, like here from the trenches. And then just God convicts me and he's like, you go and talk to her. We've been trying to talk to her for 20 years about Jesus. And so Kathy, my friend, had told me in the morning, God is asking me that the Holy Spirit will speak to her life right now through you and will give you the wisdom so that she walks out of darkness. I talked to her. 10 minutes later, she gives her life to Christ. Like this. But let's be honest. I was a cynical at first. I thought, I'll talk to her, but I don't know what will happen really. And some of you, God is asking you, step out in faith. I will meet you there. And the reason why you haven't grown is because you don't want to step out in faith. You want to be taught. You want to be trained. You want to be receiving the next seminar, the next video, the next podcast. And God is saying, walk by faith. You walk. You're not taught by faith. No, you walk by faith. You're not trained into faith. You walk by faith. And so what I wanted to finish here is asking you to bow down your head and just asking you, what has God spoken to you recently? Is there a part of your walk with Christ that you're hindering because you're being obstinate? And God is saying, would you trust me for the next season of life? Close your eyes. We're going to pray. And I'm going to ask the worship team to come up with me.